Okay, and welcome back. It's time to spend an hour with one of the most remarkable people I've ever had the pleasure of having on the program, Charlotte Iserbeet. I've known Charlotte for a long time. She is a former senior policy advisor, United States Department of Education. At least that's what they call it. She's got some great websites, and she's here tonight to bring us up to date on the latest about the mental, well, I guess you just have to call it programming of our young people that they used to call educating them. Now they call it, honestly, programming. And that's what they're getting. They're not getting education. They're getting programming. And boy, does it work. They've got the techniques, the skills. They know what they're doing. Hello, Charlotte, and welcome back.
Good evening. I'm glad to hear your voice. You sound totally normal.
Well,
exactly like you used to be.
Thank you. My core strength is back pretty well. So, yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sorry I wasn't in touch earlier, but I did write you once, but I know you have many, many emails.
No, I saw it. I try to read all my emails.
Yeah, you're good about that. You really are. Well, you know, since I've talked to you, wish things could get better. Well, I guess maybe not having had a vote on these wretched bills, one might call that good news. And I think it really had a lot to do with the victory we had in February with Republican Representative John Klein's H.R. 5, which is really the same as Senator Alexander's, the reauthorization of the ESEA.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that at the end of February, after we got out, many alerts to the grassroots with your wonderful No Way ESEA, he pulled it from the floor. It was going to be voted on that day, and his excuse was Homeland Security was being dealt with. But he admitted later that he didn't have the 200 votes. You see, they expected, the Republicans expected to get that bill, and it still hasn't been voted on. And I want to thank the grassroots again for what they did back then. And I want them to understand that if they could do it then, they can do it again. And now it's even worse, because not only do we have that bill, but we have Senator Alexander's reauthorization of the FDA, right, which has gone through all sorts of changes and additions, and I don't claim to really understand all of it. How can anybody? Because they keep changing them. And then that did come for a full vote of the Senate committee, unanimously passed it, of course, but he wanted that bill badly. He said, I think last February, that it was a priority for him to get that bill. And my feeling is that it's not that he and Mitch McConnell, who were buddies, couldn't have gotten that bill on the floor to be voted on by now. I think that, Alexander just said, look, I don't have the votes here.
That's probably what happened, exactly.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic if it's true, but don't count on it, grassroots people. You have to keep calling and keep calling and keep calling. And I think, you know, we've given you the number, but I'm going to give it to you again. It's one number. It's all you have to remember, 202-224-3121. And you can get through to any one of your congressmen or senators with that number. And now I want to give a little information on this. These bills may well be voted on within the next 2 weeks. Could be this week even. We've got information that they certainly are talking about doing it. Certainly Klein's bill in the House, and very likely Alexander's. If not within the next 2 weeks, certainly in July, when everybody's doing barbecue and going everywhere, right?
Absolutely.
Like Christmas Eve when they got the Federal Reserve in. Remember?
Yep.
The day before Christmas Eve.
That's
but anyway, all the information that your listeners need is at my blog. And I'm going to give that again. That is A, like the alphabet, okay? A, B, C, and then S for Sam.
Like ABCs.
ABCS. S is in Sam. Of Dumbdown, DUMBDOWN, .blogspot.com. ABCSOFDUMBDOWN, blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everything you could possibly need is posted the last 2 months, say the last from April 15 through today, June, Wednesday, the 15th, the last 2 months, there is nothing that you may need that is not there in regard to these outrageous,
yeah. Yeah. They're beyond outrageous.
They are absolutely communist bills.
Yeah. Yep.
And I can say that, and I dare anybody to challenge me on this. And what I sent through to you tonight, Jeff, really, the best way to look at this kind of neoconservative Trotskyite operation, which is called diversion, is not to listen to what they're saying they don't want. Like, they're worried about standards. They're worried about assessment. They're going to clean up this. They're going to clean up that, whether it's Heritage or Heartland or Pioneer or whoever. They're going to clean up all this stuff. All they do is talk about what they're going to clean up. Well, first of all, you know, most of us know the only way to clean up the whole mess would be to get rid of the U.S. Department of Education and to get rid of Health and Human Services and Labor and Workforce Training and Data Assessment Offices in Washington, sending money to the local level. That is the only way it will ever happen. But it probably won't. I wish all of you would tell them that. That's the most important thing to tell them when you call them and say no, 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 no on these four bills. I'm going to give the name of those bills now. Okay.
If you look under Charlotte's name in guests, you'll go right to her blog spot. Just click on that link under her name.
Oh, good,
in guests.
Good. Okay.
It's up there.
Okay. So the bills are Senator Alexander's S1179. And then you have this wretched bill, Senator Patty Murray, the Democrat who worked with him on that bill,
His
bill.
Yeah.
Hers is called Smart Start. Doesn't that cute sound nice?
Oh, cute.
That's S3180. And then you have John Kline, Republican Representative John Kline's HR5, which is the one you grassroots killed. But you have to call about that one, too. And then we have another one. We have a senator who says he's going to give our children and families back their privacy. He's got his act, which is absolutely unusable and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That's Senator Vitter's Privacy Act. You call against that one, too. Now, Murray's Smart Start, S3180, is clearly, that's birth to kindergarten, huh? And that is the Soviet model. And I have the original book on published by the Educational Testing Service, translated from the Russian Soviet preschool education, and it's fascinating. It's a fascinating book, and it says right up front there that that book, although it says preschool, was the model, the manual for all Soviet education.
That particular book.
Oh. Yes, and I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the forward to it, and don't forget, this really is Patty Murray's bill. And it's the other ones, too, but Alexander's calling for this stuff, too. But she has her own bill called Smart Start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her bill calls for exactly what's in the Soviet preschool education. That book is fascinating. There's a forward introduction to it by Yuri Bronfenbrenner. He's a psychologist who was born in Russia, born in Moscow, left when he's age six, and he was into he's a psychologist, into how the brain works, early childhood, all that stuff. And I have a really interesting quote from that book where Bronfenbrenner, who did the foreword to the Soviet manual that was translated by Henry Chauncey, at Educational Testing Service, Bronfenbrenner said that his friend, the Soviet psychologist, visited some of the daycare centers in the United States in the 60s. He's a guest of Bronfenbrenner's, I guess, to see what we were doing over here.
Watching that long ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And and Bronfenbrenner states in the foreword to the book, it was just, the Soviet psychologist was so upset. He was just sort of going, no, this can't be true, you know, shaking his head and waving his hands around. Because, now folks, listen to this. These little American children, four at each table, were sitting there diligently working on their own little individual projects, whatever it was.
How dare they?
Oh, how dare they? And they weren't asking for help from their friend or cheating or doing anything. They were not cooperating with one another because they felt mm-hmm. that the goal was for them to do their own thing. And so the Soviet psychologist said to Bronfenbrenner, he's shaking his hand, he says, oh, he says, look at those little children. They're just a bunch of little individualists.
Oh, my.
That is a complete quote. Now, that tells you what the book is all about.
Sure.
It is about collectivism. It is about indoctrination in the early years into communism.
Collectivist thought, folks. Nobody is to be individual. Nobody is to be part of the hive, the herd, the flock, the group, anything. Your peer group is all. That's everything to you.
That's absolutely correct. He even goes on to say that the family, I think Bronfenbrenner is the one who said, does he say that? Yeah, you know, I believe it's in the translated version. Mm-hmm. The family has nothing to do with the child's education or upbringing. The family is instructed by the state. And they do what the state wants because the goals of the family and the individual are not important. The goals of the state are important. Now, this is what's going in, folks. Now, let me point out, early 70s, President Nixon, bad as people think he was, this was in the New York Times, Edward Fisk in the 80s, he wrote about it, but this was the Humphrey Hawkins Child and Family Services Act in the early 70s. And Nixon vetoed it. And he sent a sharp message across Congress saying, mm-hmm. look, I will not have nothing to do with the Sovietization of the United States. Now, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of Americans have been fighting this stuff, but it's been going in piecemeal.
Not
in one whole bill, but we've got it now in spades. This is what I'm asking you to call about. And every single bill, with the possible exception of Vitter's, is full of this mental health, is full of workforce training, is full of tax-funded school choice with unelected boards, which they have to have. Because they couldn't possibly get an elected board to vote against doing away with putting in Soviet workforce training. They couldn't get an elected board to do that, I don't think. Or they're scared they might not be able to get. A lot of elected boards might not even know that school to work is the Soviet system. Now, so call on mm-hmm. all those bills. Now, as I said to Jeff tonight, the easiest thing to do with these people, these Trotskyites, and I have no problem calling them that, it's every single conservative organization in this country, national one. I'm not talking about the little ones, grassroots, that may be perfectly wonderful, huh? But Heritage, Heartland, Pioneer, Eagle Forum, all of them. They talk about a lot of good things. They support life. They're pro-life. They're opposed to gun controls. In many cases, well, look what we saw, what they did with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, right? That's
right.
Bad enough because that shows their Marxist roots. Because that's free trade.
Sure.
That is free trade, and Karl Marx called for free trade. And the Heritage Foundation, Richard Allen, good friend of the President Reagan, whose idea this was, drafted the first free trade agreement. The North American Free Trade Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Heritage Foundation. And you want to take advice from those people? And you want to keep sending money to those people?
It's amazing Richard Allen is still around. Is he still
around? I didn't know that. Boy, I bet he must hate me because I do talk about him quite a lot. But anyway, so what I've done here is I've said it's not what they're doing so much as what they're not doing, what they're not complaining about. They'll complain about assessment. They'll complain about data collection. They'll complain about Common Core. You never hear them complaining about school choice, do you? Or unelected boards. No, you don't. You don't hear them talking about getting rid of the Department of Education, do you? You don't hear them talking about the biggest major problem, which I'm just talking about, the communization of America. You know what they've called for recently?
Hmm.
One of the leaders, McGroarty, and Diane Ravitch, who's the sort of the left and the right, are calling for an investigation of Bill Gates. Now, come on, look, none of us like Bill Gates. I don't like Bill Gates, and I don't like any of those corporations that are involved in this, but that's been recent. They don't want to go into the history. Why don't they talk about the history? Why don't they talk about the Carnegie Corporation in 1934, which called for using the schools to change America's capitalist economic system, and in some cases, to take our land? No, they don't talk about that, because Mark Tucker is leading the plan to put the school to work in.
Hmm.
Which is the conservative Trotskyite's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to talk about Carnegie. They don't talk about the investigation of the tax-exempt foundations. What, are they going to investigate Gates? Why don't they resume the 1954 investigation of the tax-exempt foundations? Norman Dodd, the congressional investigation where he was told by Rao and Gaither that
Time is on their side. People forget. They just don't follow and track things like they should.
Well, I mean, but look, we had an investigation, and the result of that was that Norman Dodd was told by the president of the Ford Foundation that they got their instructions from the White House.
Correct.
And the instructions were to do exactly what I'm talking about tonight, folks, about the communization, United States being turned into a communist country, or it's quite along the way. It's already a done deal. But that was planned long ago. And Gaither told Norman Dodd, the investigator of the investigations that were shut down, that they got the instructions from the White House, which were to use use their money, tax-exempt money, to bring about a merger between the United States and the Soviet Union. Now, it's not called Soviet Union anymore. What that means is world government. That's the world government. That's the world system. That's
sure.
The TPP. It's regionalism. Regionalism is very, very important. Now, so they don't talk about that. Now, they don't talk about this incredible article that I have from the Communist Daily World in 1976.
You should give give a TED Talk, dear.
What's a TED Talk?
Oh, it's one of those recorded 30-minute, sometimes a little longer, speeches. Just an address by various lights in the society. Just a random number. You really should give one on this, without question. This whole issue of education, communism, Trotskyites. Keep it simple.
Well, I write it constantly. And it's at the blog if people want.
Yeah.
But I did find page 2 to this article that I've used for years by Zeitlin, University of California, L.A., who was a sociologist. We won't call him a communist. But he wrote the article for the Communist Daily World.
Oh.
And I found page 2 today of it. And actually, I found the actual photocopy of the article, which I had lost.
Oh.
And in it, he states clearly that regionalism is communism. And the words that are in there, Jeff, are amazing. He talks about the Green Belt. He talks about lifelong community services. All the buzzwords of UN Agenda 21. This was written in 1976, and he's talking about regionalism and communism. And he talks about how it was done in the Soviet Union. It's an incredible article. And so regionalism is key because that's the word for communism, but Americans don't know that. And so when they see the borders coming down between the county and the state or the town and the county or whatever, when they see the services being merged, when they see all consolidation of the schools and all, they don't know that this is the communist system. And they've got to understand that. And I've got the total proof now because I've got page two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't mention, as I said, never talk about, the Nixon quote. Now, the worst one of all, and I did a huge post on this, is community education. And we have all the goods on them. That's being put in right now all over the country. It's called, they don't call it that anymore, they call it the hub of the community. And it's lifelong under the umbrella of the unelected school district. And it provides health services, mental health, I'm just talking about like the Patty Murray bill,
mm-hmm.
all your leisure services, take grandma to see the leaves of the autumn, everything you can possibly think of will be under this unelected council, and you will be getting going through that central command
mm-hmm.
for everything, and you will take their orders because you will have no say whatsoever. Now, what we came up against recently, some incredible quotes from Makarenko, I think in the 20s or 30s, and it's in regard to Soviet Russian community education. And it is the same system being put in here. And we have a quote from an Alaskan educator at a conference in Washington, D.C. in the early 70s, saying that community education is the Russian-Chinese communist system. Community education, that's the system. That has been gone underground for many years.
Sure.
And then it resurfaced with a new label, which I think is UN Agenda 21, right?
Has to be.
And that
yeah.
is going in all over the country. And it's unelected boards, which means that you will have no say whatsoever. And as I say, on my blog, you can read all about this. There's a really good post called Little Red Riding Hood.
Uh-huh.
And now we have the Soviet, I mentioned the mental health. These
yeah.
are things that the conservatives never, they don't go near this. They don't go near Skinner. You want to know why? Because one of the top guys there, Professor Wahlberg, who wrote the book called Rewards, he's one of the internationally known behavioral psychologists who supports Skinner.
Oh,
Heartland
good.
Supports
yeah.
Skinner.
Right there. Wow. Okay.
So you're
hold
giving
on.
Your money. You're giving your money to these groups that support V.F.
Yeah.
Skinner dog yeah. training.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. Hold on just a second, then we'll come back with Charlotte Iserbeet, and I hope you'll look under her name in Guess. Go to her blog. There's so much material on there. Absolutely essential. Just fascinating. Back in a minute. Hold on. Okay, back with Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet, and please go under her name and go to her blog, and just especially if you're a parent. Now, let me ask you a question. Today's parents, what are they to look for? What are some of the things? Now, granted, a lot of them are dumber than rocks. A lot of them are very sincere and want to know. What should they look for in terms of their classroom behavior that's being brought home by their son or daughter or daughters, whatever it may be? What kinds of things should trigger an alarm, and what can they do about it?
Well, I don't know. Since I don't have children in school right now, but I think that the tolerance of any and all behaviors and attitudes towards which children never had these attitudes about women marrying women and men marrying this is
well, that's
terrible.
All terrible this, little picture illustrations and little role model
men,
things.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
yes.
It's just awful.
I mean, it must be absolutely.
Can you go to the school though and demand anything anymore?
No, not really. But Jeff, the thing is, I believe that, and you know me. I mean, I've been going up against this stuff for many, many years. But the bad stuff in the schools.
Right.
But I've seen a tremendous emphasis, an acceleration of bad programs, no worse, basically, than some of the sick values clarifications and Saul Gordon stuff we saw. But it's in all grades now. And the other thing is that it may not be all that much worse, but all of a sudden, the conservative movement has decided to focus on it, whereas we had a very hard time in the 80s and 90s. We had no money ever to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, they're using, in quotes, these issues to make money. And they really, you know, if they really wanted to solve the problem, they could have done it a long time ago, and that would have been getting rid of the United States Department of Education, because that's where all the rot comes from, my office, huh? So, yeah, I don't feel, you know, I can say this without any problem. They are not on your children's side, although they'll say they are. If they were, they would have gotten after Ronald Reagan, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and he promised. They would have been able, they're very powerful, they've got billions of dollars, you know, the Koch brothers, Heritage, all these groups,
many.
They're very wealthy.
Yeah. Yep.
They could have brought down the U.S. Department of Education if they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
So this is what parents should know. And the point is that a lot of teachers who are still stuck in there are stuck with this new, you ask me, what should they look for? They're stuck with this new performance-based system, which is not traditional education. It doesn't give grades to your children. There's no competition there. Every child is working at his own pace. Individual education plans, the use of the Skinner method, these are things that the parents probably don't understand that it's no good, an
not
individual
unless they reach
education
your blog.
Plan.
No.
No. It sounds like it might be great, you know, if you lived in a country where everybody was halfway sane and really wanted to help your child, an individual education plan might be a good way to go. But this is not the reason for it. The IEP is so that they can keep track of every single attitude, value, belief of your child, and ultimately it has to be the means for workforce training. Obviously, you know, you can't train an individual for the workforce in a classroom of, 20 kids all learning the same thing, right?
Right.
Each child has to be learning a different thing because he's been designated at an early age, just like in Cuba or wherever else, what he's going to be the rest of his life. It's such a totalitarian system, the school-to-work system that's being put in right now, that Carnegie planned it in 1934 in that little book.
Yeah.
And, but they should, bad behavior, of course, is going to come back from the school. New, weird, sick ideas will be brought up, maybe at the dining room table, I don't know. Or maybe they'll just let you think, you know, mom and dad, you're just old-fashioned.
I wonder if
know.
They're telling the kids in school actively now to keep what goes on in class kind of private. Don't tell your parents. They don't need to know. They won't understand what we're doing.
Well, yeah. You know what? It's a good point, because in that book I was talking about, the Manual for Soviet Education, what they do allude to is that the children should, find out what the parents are doing at home. And then they report it, you know, to the little counselor or whatever.
Yeah.
They report on the parents and, you know, all this parent, what was it called? Remember, parent teaching, parent assistance, the PAT program or whatever it was, where the teachers go into the home to train the parents in the United States.
I don't remember that one.
And they're still doing it, but they do everything that seems a bit bizarre to you and me. They do it. Test it out on the inner city kids. You know, the less affluent areas in the country where parents are inclined not to dare go to a school board meeting. I know how they feel, you know, because they think they're going to be put down.
Sure.
They use the minorities, as I've always said, and I did that article, you know, the experimentation on the minorities to put this whole system I'm talking about tonight in place. No grades, no K through 12, no competition. You can graduate at 15 or 21. This is workforce. You see, this is total quality management, workforce training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is a new system, but they couldn't dump it on us all at once, so they worked on it between 1965, Lyndon Johnson, ESEA, and now. And they used the Skinner method, the mastery learning, and a lot of children have dropped out because of it. It was terrible what they did with the inner city kids. But they also changed the structure of the school from, you know, three principals and teachers teaching to the whole group and they changed the no more report card. We used to have report cards. They used the minorities to restructure the system. And I even have an evaluation on one of these projects in Nebraska, I think it was. The U.S. Department of Ed evaluated it. It's amazing they even allow this kind of thing to get out. And it said that although the children may not have learned to read better, they did a lot of good work in restructuring of the system. Yes, and no, I mean, I've got all the goods. I mean, it's just sometimes I really
well,
wish
like
I didn't.
Say, you should look up TED Talks. TED Talks.
TED Talks. What is TED Talks?
Oh, it's just a series of presentations by people. 15
what am I meant
to 30
do?
Minutes. They talk about whatever their specialty is.
Well, who do I go to?
Or look up we'll look up TED Talk. Just do a search. TED Talks. That's the easiest way. You need to be there. You should be in the library of TED Talks. They're kind of.
You make me laugh.
You know, they're kind of considered slick by people, and some of them are very good. Some of them aren't. There was a woman on there.
I've never heard of that. I hope you remember. You know, to remind me.
All right, I'll remember to remind you. I will. Hold on a sec. Yeah, we have to remember to do this little 2-minute break, and we'll come right back.
All right, TED. I'm going to write it down.
TED Talks. Yeah.
Okay.
We got you with that one. All right. Back with Charlotte. And we have exposed so much on this program over the years about the horrors of American education now. I wonder if we were to compare this to the Russian school system, how it would come out now. Have you seen anything about that lately?
I don't know about Russia. I do know that they always talk about the PISA, P-I-S-A, test. That's an international assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always telling us that we're way at the bottom of the list on that. But
I'm not surprised.
Well, I think it's just as well, and I'm going to explain why.
All right.
Because that's performance-based, see?
Mm-hmm.
They're all socialist countries, and they're all training for the workforce. And they may have good math and science scores and all, but they're geared towards the quota system for jobs and all. And my feel, it's sort of like, Jeff, about 15 years ago when parents would call me and they'd say, you know, Charlotte, our school system has really got very low test scores with the assessment taking place. And we're upset, you know, my husband and I, we moved here because we thought it was going to be a really good school. And I said, wait a minute, sit down now. Maybe you should just be grateful for small favors. You may still have an academically oriented school system, which
right.
hasn't gone towards outcome-based, performance-based education. And I think that's the same case with the PISA. I think if the United States was, if these other countries were being compared with us, it's probably not too good now, but say 10 years ago or so, certainly when Reagan came in and they had the great big nation at risk hype, right? At that time, we were way ahead of the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world has been socialist for a long time, right? And we were way ahead with academics, true academics, which gives your child upward mobility and focuses on art, music, these things you and I have talked about in the past, history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we are not as bad as people would think. And everybody's dumping on us and saying we're not doing well on the PISA test. Well, I just say I'm glad because Finland is doing well on the PISA test. And Finland has the school to work agenda. All
yeah.
the services are being provided by the state through the school, which is what we will have. I was talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
the community ed concept.
Mm-hmm.
And Finland, by the way, you know, was under the Soviet Union for quite a long time. People seem to avoid going there, huh? Denmark certainly is socialist. Germany has always had this school to work system. Even Belgium, where my husband came from, it wasn't quite as severe. But the United States has never had that. We've had marvelous vocational ed programs, which I love. But this is a completely different system where they're identifying your child at an early age for what job he's going to have. And it's a quota system. So if your child wants to be whatever, a scientist, or he wants to be a janitor, maybe, or he wants to be a welder,
they
want to be a welder, always want to be a welder. And the shipbuilding company down the road wants 10 welders. Will you be trained for get 10 students for training to be a welder? And your son is number 11. And your son will not be able to get the training. And this is an absolutely totalitarian system. And we have a great quote from a Professor Boyce, no conservative, University of Georgia. He's dead now, where he talked about communist education and how they do not educate for jobs that don't exist. And it's a quota system. And that's what's going in. And that was put in, basically, this public-private partnership. You can thank Ronald Reagan for it. I was the White liaison with the White House on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over there, and I was shocked. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, what do you mean? I said, you're merging the public and private sector. There can be no accountability there. And isn't this corporate fascism? That's the nicest title, huh?
Yeah.
And some of them looked at me and said, well, they didn't know that anybody ever looked at it. Well, yes, they did. And that was Ed Meese, Caspar Weinberger. I don't know if your listeners know any of these names. Reagan. That was their agenda. And they pointed to Japan at the time, because Japan was looking pretty good economically. And they said, we've got to put in the Japanese system. Well, that's pure socialism. And it's school to work. It's the Japanese management, which is TQM. And that's socialism. No grades. You graduate at 15 or 21.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the system going in. And the neoconservative, as I said, it's what they don't talk about. You hear them talking about standards, data collection, assessment, all these things, which are serious. I agree. But they're nowhere near as serious as unelected boards, tax-funded school choice, charter schools, unelected boards, which are going to lead to an unelected form of government in this country. Because if number one expenditure in this country, before defense, you're going to turn that over to an unelected council to make decisions about your children and about your money? Look, once that's done, nobody's going to bother to worry about voting for anything. And you will lose your representative form of government. And that is the most dangerous part of the whole agenda. And the neoconservative Trotskyites support this. That's why I say, look, please, when you sit down and write a check to Heritage or Heartland or Pioneer or whoever else, don't do it. You're supporting a change in your economic and political system.
Absolutely, you are. Any of those think tanks.
Yes, and they really are. And you know what? Another thing I found, Jeff, this is a good one. I found an old article here from 1959. It was from the New York Herald Tribune. And it deals with United States involvement in partnerships with the Soviet Union. And it is by Roscoe Drummond, New York Herald Tribune, a very well-known journalist. And it's called, remember this, 1959, folks, Invitation to Soviet Governors, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Huh.
Why I'm reading this to you, because I want you to know that the system that's going in now, it's not just Charlotte talking. This has been planned for a long time. I mean, I can tell you all a million times about the U.S.-Soviet education agreements Reagan signed with Gorbachev to merge two systems, but a lot of you just don't want to listen. You don't want to hear it, and you don't believe it.
That's
I don't know
true.
That I believe you. I don't know that I don't that I blame you, because you only hear it from me. You don't hear it from those conservative groups that I've been talking about, do you?
Not a word.
Anyway, we go. Invitation to Soviet Governors. The 9-member executive committee of the United States governors, just think about them all, how they support Common Core, they support every rotten thing you ever heard of, and they were funded and founded by the Carnegie Corporation in 1906, the National Governors Association, okay? Now, the 9-member executive committee of the U.S. governors, who have just reported to President Eisenhower on their own tour of Russia, are arranging to invite the prime ministers of the 16 Soviet republics to attend and take part in the 1960 Governors Conference. period. It is evident that the governor strongly endorsed the imminent exchange of visits between Premier Khrushchev and President Eisenhower, but they believe this burgeoning east-west exchange needs to include officials, get this, from all levels of government. Now, didn't I just talk to you about regionalism?
Sure you did.
Yeah. Okay, all right. All levels of government. The plan now is to send invitations from the American governors to Soviet governors, who are the chief executive officers of the Soviet republics, and with all of whom Governor Leroy Collins of Florida, Governor Robert Miner of New Jersey, Governor Luther Hodges of North Carolina, and their colleagues conferred at length last month.
Mm-hmm.
The formal action to extend these invitations will either be taken by the governors at their session here or left to the executive committee to work out. That's San Juan. They'd be a big meeting then. The governors are discussing this project with representatives of the State Department and the White House, as they did before they undertook their own trip this summer. In the wake of the Khrushchev-Eisenhower exchange, there is no doubt that Washington will approve. The intention is that attendance at the next governor's conference shall be only a part of the hospitality to be arranged for the top officials of the Soviet republics, many of whom will be the political leaders of the Soviet Union in years to come, like now.
Mm-hmm.
What the inviting governors have in mind is, colon, visit the states. A visit by the prime ministers, either as a group or separately, to as many states as possible, and at least to all sections of the country. Don't forget, folks, this is when thousands and thousands of Russians were rotting in concentration camps that this was going on, all right?
Yeah.
And dying, and Solzhenitsyn wrote about it. Don't forget that, those Americans who don't have any history, okay? What the inviting governors have in mind is visit the states, right? Then they're going to have a full day participation at the governor's conference, during which there will be a joint discussion of common problems.
Mm-hmm.
Get this, Jeff. Listen. Community ed, all right? Housing, health, old age care, etc.
Wow.
You want me to repeat
that? It's all there.
A full day's participation at the governor's conference, during mm-hmm. which there will be a joint discussion of common problems. Housing, health, old age care. This is 1959, long before many of your listeners were born. An invitation to attend as observers both the Democratic and Republican nominating conventions, so they may see how a democracy, I didn't know we were one, I thought we were a republic, picks its presidential candidates. This plan reflects the intention of the governor's executive committee to implement their own appeal to the president that, quote, a greatly expanded program of exchange visits, particularly at the middle and local levels of government, would be highly desirable, end quote. In his address, as Chairman Governor Collins told the conference that, quote, what the Soviets do and what we do toward relieving the anxieties of the Cold War, assisting aspirations around the world, will determine whether this world community successfully meets the challenges or survival. The states must be partners and co-workers in this common undertaking if we are to succeed, then titled Goodwill Reservoir. The reports which the governors made to their colleagues on what they found in Russia were realistic. While they noted the gap between the friendly sentiment of the Soviet people and the policies of the Kremlin, they were impressed by the reservoir of goodwill they found on every hand. They believed that an early visit to the United States of their Soviet counterparts would carry forward whatever gains might be made as a result of the Kozlov, Nixon, and Khrushchev Eisenhower visit this year.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it's terribly important.
It is. We're out of time here, and it is terribly important. And your blog spot is back up. Look under her name and guess, and go right there. And it's just loaded with information. Loaded.
And call. No way, ESEA.
Thank you.
Right?
Well done.
Okay. You take care of yourself, Jeff.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you for letting me read that document.
Of course. Thank you for all you do.
Not at all. Well, thank you. You know how I feel about that. You take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
Good luck. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Charlotte Iserbeet, and there's only one of a kind in that one. Okay, back with Hour 3, and we're going to bring you up to date on Fukushima, the massive pileup of radioactive cesium all along the West Coast, the massive, the words don't even come close, die-off of animals, that used to populate this wonderful ocean, they're all gone, virtually all gone. All right, we'll be right back.